everybody. This week on the show, I got Kamikaze Kid. Now, some of you younger people, maybe even some of you who are older than me, maybe you're 55 years old and you're like, hey man, I don't know who that is. Like, is he going to be on Battle Kid? Nope, he's not going to be on Battle Kid. But he's been on a lot of Battle Kids because Kamikaze Kid goes all the way back almost to the beginning of CWF as a promotion. That's why I wanted to have him on the show. He is just the coolest guy. He shows a lot of range in this interview. This is part one of my interview with Kamikaze Kid. Part two will air not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. This Wednesday, we got part two of Dylan Hales. I'm catching up on everything. And if you like Kazi, well, hopefully I'll be able to announce a surprise when I get back from Battle Kid, because I'm headed down again to the Burlington, North Carolina area. I will be in Gibsonville for Battle Kid. If you don't have your tickets, you need to go to cwftickets.com and get tickets, because this is the big event. This is their Super Bowl. And Trevor Lee is in the main event against Roy Wilkins in a First Blood match. You got Andrew Everett coming back. You got favorites of the pod, Kane Justice, and he's facing Nick Richards. So, you know, alliance is split there. That should be very good. Some interesting mic work being done by both. I'm hearing that Nick is going to have an amazing promo this week on CWF Worldwide. Yeah, so that's it. And the return of a dog licking things on my show. I got my little pug is obsessed with anything that has salt on it. So, all right, enjoy Kamikaze Kid. I'll see you on the other side. This is an enjoyable one, folks.
Before it starts, like, what are we talking about?
I don't know yet. I'm going to make it up as I go. That's what I usually do.
Oh, that's fine.
So I'm just going to figure it out. You know what? I like that. So we're just going to keep that. I am here. You may not know that voice because you're roughly a silent character, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's also only pops in here and there, but he is a CWF legend. I am here with Kazi, a.k.a. Kid Kamikaze, right?
Kamikaze Kid, yes.
Kamikaze, I apologize. Yes. There you go.
Kid Kazi was Andrew Everett back in 2003. Oh, really?
And that's before the goat mask.
Yes, he was 9 years old when he became Kid Kazi.
So when was the last time you worked for CWF?
It was the last man standing match with me and Nick
with
Richards.
Nick, okay, which we watched. Okay, I don't know when this is going to air, but we just finished up the second day of CWF FanCon. Last night was a lot of fun and pretty raucous. Absolutely. We actually watched that match with Kazi here, but not in gimmick and blending in. So it looked like a random friend of wrestlers.
Absolutely. Just talking shit to everybody.
Just talking trash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was actually really funny to know that was going on.
And most of the other fans had no idea who the fuck I was. Like, why is this guy talking? And I'm like, you shut the fuck up.
What keeps you coming back here?
Well, to be honest, wrestling's kind of in my blood. And I wanted to tell the story for the panel, but when I was 9.5 years old, my dad was a truck driver. And he once delivered rings for a couple times for WCW shows when they come in town. And so he was a big fan of wrestling, loved it. He bought me a 6-foot Wile E. Coyote doll, right? And he gave it to me as my favorite thing. Right? I was slamming, and we were watching WCW one night. It was on TBS, I think it was Clash of Champions. And I slammed it down, I put it in the camel clutch. Right, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know it was called the camel clutch or nothing. But I fucking pulled up as hard as I could, and I ripped its neck wide open and stuff and started pulling out. So, of course, that's my favorite toy. I start crying and going hysterical, like, broke it, whatever. And so my dad, being, you know, a man, he didn't go, oh, honey, but he goes, come here, boy. And he says, sit down. And I'm sitting there crying hysterically. He's like, hey, you like wrestling? I'm like, yeah, I like wrestling. And he's like, you want to be a wrestler one day? I was like, yeah. He goes, promise me you'll be a wrestler one day. And I got all serious. I said, I promise. He's like, good. I want you to do that to people. I want you to do that to people when you start wrestling. And I was like, I can do it. Well, 3 months later, he passed away. So it was one of my last memories with my father. So, you know, when I started, you know, I always backyard wrestle with my friends. I always knew I wanted to wrestle, but I had no I had no way of knowing how to go about it. So luckily, I found Boogie's Camp, which Boogie's Camp led me to here. And I don't care how injured I am or how beat up or old or fat that I get, I will always be around and come back. You know, because if I don't, I will end up getting depressed. And, you know, I don't want to be one of those wrestling cliches of, you know, I don't want to hang myself in a closet or take a gun in my head eventually, so.
Who are the guys, like the young guys that you see, this new generation that you, I don't know, do you pull guys aside at all?
Yes, all the time.
Okay. Who do you love to talk to because you feel like they're young, they're rough around the edges, but like they're a sponge that kind of soaks up some stuff? Maybe it doesn't have to be one guy. But
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah. I'm one of those guys that if I see anything wrong, I pull them aside and tell them in a respectful way. You know, I'm not like Trevor and I go up and here's what sucks about your fucking match. I'm going to go up to you and be like, hey, I like this, but this needs to work on this. One of those guys, and I hate to put him over because I give him the most hell. I steal the RGL belt all the time, and it's this motherfucker right here.
Here he is right here, actually.
Kane Justice. Yes, he is a big dick. But I absolutely love Kane Justice. And people make fun of him for stealing Trevor's stuff. But, I mean, seriously, if you're going to steal somebody's stuff, you might as well be one of the best wrestlers on the planet, in my view.
He is somewhat of an apprentice. You know
absolutely.
I mean? That's
you know?
Trainer.
And he can do it. And not many people can emulate Trevor and make it look good. Kane can actually do that.
And he's only 1 year in.
And Kane's a smart ass. God, I fucking hate him sometimes. But he actually listens when it matters. All right, Snooty Fox is another guy. Like, when I pull him aside, he always thinks I'm giving him hell because I'm one of the only people that will be like, look, you got to stop doing this. You're doing this wrong. Don't pose like that. You know, I talk about little things. But he actually, like, after we're done, he's always smiling. He knows that I have his best interest at heart. So that's two guys. Mm-hmm. Most of the other guys give Dirty Daddy advice all the time. And that's what I love about this locker room. Everybody listens. Like, nobody's above it and they think, oh, fuck this, who's this guy, I'm better than that. Nobody has that attitude. You know, we all try to help each other, and that's what I love about CWF.
Now, you were in the Mid-Atlantic in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and I, you know, through Bruce Mitchell of the Torch, mm-hmm. I would hear of you from time to time. And you were unique for this area because you had kind of like a luchador feel, and you did high spots. You also did hardcore. Talk about that time. Did you ever feel sort of out of place here, or like there wasn't? I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, given all that, you're somebody that I've heard like, yeah, he was really good, and the indies didn't really blow up until after, you know, you had miles on your body and everything, and you couldn't travel as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you talk to me about... Hold on 1 second. Hey, Brad.
Yo.
Thank you.
Thank you, dude.
You're awesome, man.
Thank you. All right, sorry. I had to say goodbye to Brad Attitude, who made a special run-in appearance here to end the FanCon. Yeah, so what I was getting at... As all this chaos goes on around us, do you feel like, is that an accurate narrative?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I was one of the first guys like that came here. When you come to CWF at first, you're almost intimidated. A lot of people are like, I don't want to do anything wrong. I don't want to do anything that, you know, the promoter doesn't want. Because Jeff was not scared to tell you what he felt, you know. And I was one of the first guys that came in and been like, oh, I don't care what anybody fucking says. I do it this way. This is the way I want to do it. And Jeff absolutely loved that about me. In fact, I came here with a group of people, Chris Collins, Xyrus, and Trent Wilde. Trent Wilde had heard of Jeff and talked to him, and he was like, listen, Jeff only likes chain wrestling. He doesn't like high spots. He doesn't like flips. He doesn't like any of that stupid shit that you do. And, of course, at this point, I was like, fuck him then. Who's he there? I'm going to go out and do my shit. So we had trial matches before a show. And Chris Collins wrestled X. They did chain wrestling and boring stuff. Trent Wilde wrestled Xyrus. Boring chain wrestling. I went out and I wrestled a guy who looks and wrestles exactly like Snooty Fox. He's a huge black guy, and he was a trainee under Jeff. And I let this dude throw me all over the place. Throw me outside the ring, give me horrible, horrible bumps on my neck. I would fly, moonsault, and do everything I normally did. And afterwards, everybody was like, you just did exactly the opposite of what we told you to do. That's stupid. You're going to blow it. Jeff pulled me aside and said, hey, man, I got an idea for you. You need to wear a mask. And I was like, really? I said, I have a mask. And he was like, it needs to have tassels. Because if you have tassels, when you fly through the air, you look like a superhero. And he goes, you got that. I love how you did this. And I was like, really? That's awesome. So we go in the crowd, and we're sitting there, and Rick Converse comes out, which I fucking hate Rick Converse, by the way. Rick Converse, if you're listening, fuck you. But Rick Converse comes out with his girlfriend, and we're in the crowd, and we're, you know, we know the deal. We're sitting there being like, you're a whore. You're a slut. Fuck you. You know, blah, blah, blah. Because we wanted, they were heels. Next thing I know, Danny comes up to me. He goes, you got your gear? And I was like, yeah. He goes, we need you to wrestle somebody. It's like, all right, cool. You know, and I looked, and I was like, yeah, fuck you guys. I get to wrestle. I watched the back, and like, who am I wrestling? He goes, yeah, you're wrestling Rick Converse. And I'm like, oh, shit. Because he looked directly at it. He gave us that look. Oh, we're Disney's real-life girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I get to the back. I'm pale as shit. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And they were absolute professionals about it. Like, no, that's good. We loved it, blah, blah, blah. And I was the first person in CWF to bring hardcore. Like, I bought thumbtacks. I bought, you know, they might have had a table here and there or a chair shot. But I was the first one to be like, let's bring a ladder and, like, kill each other, you know, stuff like that. And believe it or not, the first time that was introduced was me and Jeff, me and Gemini Kid, Coach Gemini that people know. We had a Kazi rules match, because it's named after me. I love that, because I'm vain. And what he did is he took me and he curb stomped my face into thumbtacks. And I remember it, thumbtacks went in my face, they went in my hands. What sucked is the thumbtack went right through my middle finger and the edge touched my fingernail. And so I'm sitting there, I have thumbtacks in my face and my chest and everything, but all I'm worried about is twisting this one thumbtack out of my fucking middle finger, and that was the most painful thing in the whole match. And so, like, yeah, I think that if I was in my prime now, I wouldn't be up there with Trevor Lee, of course, but I'd be there with Andrew Everett, Eric Royal. I'd be having great matches and doing crazy stuff because I love it. That's what I want to do. And I love that pop, the adrenaline that the crowd makes, that they give you when they're popping and reacting to crazy stuff they see. It's just amazing, and I can't get enough of it.
That was new friend of the pod, Kamikaze Kid. That man has one of the longest winning streaks in CWF history, basically from November of 2007 to mid-August of 2009. He won 18 straight matches, and that was without a loss. And as of 2014, that was a record for longest winning streaks and second for most consecutive matches without a loss. I don't know if that's true anymore because Grant hasn't updated this record book completely, which would be pretty impossible to do because you'd have to stay on that like 24/7. So no shade at the great StatMark. Follow him at StatMark on Twitter. Thanks to Kamikaze Kid this week. I can't wait to have him back for part two, and then I'll hopefully be running into him over Battle Kid weekend because we got some business to take care of. I will get to that later, and by later I mean in a few weeks. If it goes down, I will let you guys know because I don't want to pre-promote something that might not happen. Theme by PoddingtonBear.com. CWF Mid-Atlantic on Twitter at CWF Mid-Atlantic. Our two feeds, placetobenation.com and pwponderings.com. CWF tickets and merch, cwftickets.com. CWF Mid-Atlantic's YouTube show weekly, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, or just watch it on demand, cwfworldwide.com. Next week, Dylan Hales. Who knows what we talk about? I have no idea because I don't recall. Because I tape these separately from the actual interviews. There's a big trade secret for you behind the curtain. Hey, champ, you have anything to say before we leave? No, just sniffs. All right. Talk to you next week, everybody.